Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Still cold, but it's a game day, and we are inside KeyBank. I feel like I needed to apologize because last week I thought, they're freezing, actually. You're warm, so I don't know. Anyway, for the radio audience, this is really interesting, the fact that you now know my hands.
Chemistry right there. A cold hand on a warm body has a reverse effect. I felt like your hand was really warm.
Last week, I was surprised you were still wearing your winter hat, indoors. I thought it was starting to warm up, but I was mistaken. So add it to the list of things I've been wrong about.
It's beautiful. I love this day. Like today, it's beautiful. When you walk on the snow, there's a crisp in the snow. Mm. I love that. Like, it's not like a slushy snow. It's not a wet snow. It's a crisp snow.
It would be hard to be slushy after 65-mile-an-hour winds.
That was I woke up this morning with Plowmaster 43 having to get on the road for an hour.
Which way was your plow facing?
Well, it was facing against the wind so I could keep the car on the truck on the line. But, yeah, I woke up and I was like, what happened to my snow bank? It was 4.5-5 feet tall. Now it's 3 feet tall, and most of the snow is in my driveway. What's going on here?
I know this. The Sabres are home. They've got the Bruins tonight. Yuri Kulik's coming up on the show, and
I'm excited about that.
Yeah, I am as well. But from a roster standpoint, we're talking about a Sabres team that is still trying to find rhythm, in the words of Lindy Ruff this morning. Obviously, results of greater significance. They've dropped two in a row and five of the last seven. They're up against a Boston team that's 5-1-1 in their last seven. But yesterday, Nick Aubé-Kubel was placed on waivers. We'll find out at 2 o'clock. His fate, so to speak. The fact that we've seen Tyson Kozak up an awful lot lately. Technically, he is not recalled at this point. But Jiří has earned his place to this point. Yep. That's why there's nothing but positives around him and his play. But I do wonder whether we could see someone other than Kozak up from Rochester, i.e. Isaac Rosén, who continues to lead the team in points. He's top 20 in AHL scoring. He's expected to go to the All-Star Classic in Coachella Valley this weekend after they play Friday and Saturday night. And by the way, congratulations to Brett Murray, because Brett's just been added as a replacement. He should have been there all along, in my opinion, based on how well he's playing. Murray and Rosén, by the way.
I feel like your 2,000 emails to the AHL selecting committee has worked.
No, they were ranting text messages to our internal group only.
I shared those with the AHL.
Yeah, thanks for that.
Did you
scrub out the name?
Yeah. And I scrub out also some of the language. No, I'm just kidding.
So Rosén and Murray have 18 goals apiece. They're tied for 7th in AHL goal scoring. Obviously, Levi and Rosén were headed to the Classic. Brett's going to go now for the first time, so good for him. But all that being said, everything I've just unloaded here, like what is next for this Sabres roster in wake of Aubé-Kubel on waivers, what we've seen from Kozak, and what you still might want to see from guys who are playing with the Amherst?
Okay, so number one, like I get that it looks like the Sabres are probably going to make a couple of transactions later today. They're waiting on seeing what happens with Aubé-Kubel, but if he clears, most likely will be headed down to Rochester and somebody will be coming up. So that's number one. I think Tyson Kozak played well with the Sabres, did enough good. I mean, he was playing on the second line when Zucker was sick, right? So you're saying, hey, this is a guy that was given an opportunity, and I think Lindy Ruff liked the way that Tyson Kozak was playing, so it makes sense for me to say, okay, Aubé-Kubel is going to clear. Now you call up a guy like Kozak, and you put him in your group of 12. I don't think he can find a spot in the top nine. I think the top nine is pretty much set with, you know, you've got Paterka, Kulik, Thompson. You've got Zucker with Cousins and Tuck. And then you have Benson with McLeod and Quinn. So that's your top nine. I think the top nine is set. But you always have movement in games, players that move, get moved up, move down, whatnot. I think a player like Tyson Kozak could slide into the middle, could slide in on the wing. There's a few different things that could happen here. So, yeah, when, you know, Obi Kubel clears most likely at 2 p.m., then after that you can start making your roster transactions, because the Sabres are at 23 players right now. If they had been at 22, you don't have to wait for Obi Kubel to clear waivers, but they're at 23. That's the max. So they have to wait for that to happen before they can do anything else.
No comment on Roseanne?
So Roseanne, for me, it's a different story. I think if Zach Roseanne comes up, you have to find, just like Yuri Kulik, a spot in the top nine, maybe even the top six, to say, hey, can we give him the opportunity to play to his strength? I don't think that saying, hey, let's call up Zach Roseanne and have him on the fourth line playing alongside Beck Malenstein and either Krebs and Lafferty, or, you know, you move things around. I don't really see that as a fit for Zach Roseanne. Mm-hmm. And you want to give him a chance to come up and say, hey, it's a reward. It's not a come up to the NHL, but you're going to play 10 minutes in a very unlikely role for you. So that's why I don't think Roseanne is for now. I think Roseanne could be down the road, because at some point the Sabres are going to use some of their call-ups for players like Roseanne, maybe even Elenius, guys that can come up and get a little taste of it and see what they've got at this level.
I don't think they would bring up Elenius this year, do you?
Maybe for couple of games, a handful
really?
Of games, get him on in there. Like, I just think of myself as a youngster, mm-hmm. and saying, I'm having a good year. I was drafted in the first round. Like, okay, what's the danger in saying, hey, let's get you up here for a week. Start practice on Tuesday, Wednesday, play Thursday, practice Friday, go on the road, play on Saturday, come back Sunday, and then go back to Rochester. 1 week, mm-hmm. right? Number one, well, it's a nice payday. Number two, it's the experience, being with the guys, getting more familiar with the rest of the group. I think there's a lot of good there. But teams that are in different positions don't want to do it. Like, if you're in a playoff spot, chasing a playoff spot, whatever, you may not want to do this because it's not the priority. Let's see where the Sabres are in a month from now, in the month of late February, early March, what kind of opportunities you can give to some of those players.
Well, if I gave you the dis or dat, Östlund or Hellenius?
Probably Östlund first and Hellenius second, but they would both get that opportunity. Okay. I think you reward them. And then you also say, hey, this is a fun little reward, but go down to Rochester and then go win a championship. Like, that's what the number one goal was. I still remember getting sent down my second year. I had a good camp. I was coming off a strong second half in Rochester, and the goal was, look, we want you to go to Rochester. We want you to dominate. We want you to go to the playoffs, go to the as far as you can. Now, I got called up that year. I got my first NHL win that year. It was a great reward, but I still knew my goal was what was set at the beginning of the year, go to Rochester and be a dominating goaltender in the AHL. Because I played well, I got called up for a couple of games, and luckily, I got my first win. Everything worked out. But if I think of 98-99, I think of my year in Rochester and going to the playoffs and going to the Calder Cup final. I think that's got to be the same thing for those guys. Maybe they get called up, but, you know, you look at the players that have moved around now. Thompson's on the wing. Okay, is he always going to be on the wing? Is he back to center at some point? Yuri Kulik's playing top-line center. Benson and Quinn seem to, you know, try to find their ways into the lineup. Like, there's a lot of experimentation you need to continue to do to see where you're going.
Happy 25th anniversary, Marty, on your 1-0 shutout of Ottawa. That was a 21-save effort. And
that boosted my save percentage.
James Patrick had the only goal in that
no
one.
No way,
so
cheap with the 1-0 goal.
I'm sure that Spartacat didn't enjoy that day. And
he did not wear a Sabres jersey.
And we're all feeling for him, just like
Thomas Chabot.
Just like Thomas Chabot is feeling for him.
People are saying, who's Spartacat? Spartacat is the Ottawa Senators mascot. Now, the Ottawa Senators yesterday, I believe, announced that they will have training camp in Quebec City next year and play a preseason game there. So the mascot came out with a jersey that had half the Ottawa Senators on the left side and the Quebec Nordiques on the right side. Well, the fan base went crazy in Ottawa because there's not a lot of good press right now when it comes to the new building in Ottawa.
Well, they're in their defense, meaning the new ownership group, the Andlauer group.
Yeah.
There hasn't been a lot of good press about a potential new arena in Ottawa for 15 years.
Well, exactly.
So this is piling on.
I'm not saying this is the Andlauer group. I'm just saying.
No,
like,
no. I'm trying to absolve him.
Yes.
From not getting to the finish line, because nobody else could get to the finish line either. That's the problem.
The Melnicks could not get it, and they've been trying for 15 years, as you pointed out. So anyway, so the fan base went crazy because now the rumors of maybe Ottawa could move to Quebec City and all of it, it's just gone rampant. So much so that Michael Andlauer, the owner of the Ottawa Senators, came out and says, no. We're staying in Ottawa. With a new rink or without a new rink, we're staying in Ottawa. He had to really get to the front of that right away. But Thomas Chabot today, in a quote, says, I feel bad for Spartacat today. He's feeling bad for the mascot. It's like if we said, like, Sabretooth. I don't know. Sabretooth fell on the ice after the game. He was out there. He fell. I feel bad for Sabretooth. He's probably going to wake up with a headache. Like, that's just – it's a funny way to just feel bad for a mascot.
It's important, though.
It's important to care. It's important to care.
And we would care to see all young, potential, future NHL stars down here in the building on February the 2nd. It is fast approaching, and we want you to be here when the Sabres take on the Devils. First 5,000 kids in attendance will take home a Sabres water bottle. Visit sabres.com/tickets to purchase yours today. With Yuri Kulik as the Sabres and Bruins clash tonight, how you doing? The goals have been coming, and how are you feeling?
Yeah, I'm feeling more comfortable on the ice, too. I scored a couple, so that's why I got pretty good confidence right now. So I think it still can be better, but we'll see how it's going.
I was in the equipment room about 2 weeks ago, and you and Jason Zucker were having a fun time because you wanted new sticks, and Zucker says you only get new sticks when you play on my line. But now that you scored a few goals, are you getting the new sticks? Is Willie taking care of you?
What Zuck said, it's I need at least 200 games in NHL to talk to Willie, so... Yeah.
So that's what Zook said. You don't get to talk to the equipment guys until you play 200 games. Or you're on his line. If you're on his line, then you're good.
Yeah.
Did you change equipment at all, sticks at all, along the way this season to get maybe even more comfortable and confident?
No.
No?
It's still the same.
Yeah.
What's your flex?
75, but... I cut a lot, so probably like 80.
Okay, so when you cut it, it makes it a little stiffer, right?
Yeah. So it's like 80, and my curve is classic P28.
Oh, classic P28. So if you're out there and you want to get the same stick that Yuri Kulik's shooting with, a 75 flex, cut a little bit with a P28, they're going to score tons of goals. But that one timer the other day, you get it, and it comes off the stick in a heartbeat. Is this what we should expect from your shot? Because a lot of people have seen it in Rochester, but in Buffalo, you know, you're just getting going. Is that a Yuri Kulik like trademark shot?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's my best shot. But I don't think that was a great shot on the game, but it was going in. So it's pretty hard to score in this league from the 1T, so I have to keep working on that shot, and
More power play time soon?
Yeah, we'll see.
Well, I was going to go into Lindy Ruff's press conference, but the door was locked. They wouldn't let me in,
no.
So he locked the door. I was going to say, hey, can you replay top power play? But I get it. Like, you want two power play units that can go out there. The power play was actually pretty good against the Oilers after not so good against the Flames. What was the mindset that was the difference that, 12 power play shots and more chances?
Yeah, I mean, that was the key, probably. Shots doing chaos. So, we just tried to shoot more. Especially me, I shot everything. So,
you weren't going to come back to the bench and have the coach come to you and say, Yuri, got to shoot this. No, I'm shooting everything.
Yeah, I was shooting everything. I think I had like four shots in the one power play. So. Yeah.
You keep in touch with some of your most recent teammates in Rochester. I'm just curious whether you got some good messaging after the brawl they had on Saturday night in Hartford.
Rosie just sent me the video of the fight. So, it was crazy. I wish I was there. not fighting, but I wish I was on the bench.
Yeah. Well, one thing that's interesting, because you're a lot bigger than people think you are. Like, you're strong. Ever gotten into a fight or any, like, drop in the gloves, either in Roch or before that?
No, I never dropped the gloves yet, so...
You're going to try to stay away from that?
No, I mean, I'm not scared. I just playing my best if I'm not frustrating, so...
Yeah, but I think you'd be a sneaky good, like, strong... Like, somebody would come to you and not expect anything... And then you'd get in there and
you could let
shake
them
him
test.
Up a little bit.
We could test this right now on you if you want.
I'm going to pass. Okay. Please. HR, where's HR? I need to talk to Duffer wants me hurt.
No, in all seriousness, how's life been this year up in Buffalo? Just as you get acclimated to life in the NHL.
I mean, I'm living my dream right now, so life is good. And... Yeah, just enjoying every single day here, and especially with this group of guys. It's a really great group, and we had a lot of fun, so, yeah.
Was it nice to have a little bit of a Christmas break? I know it's not a lot of the days, but the last few years you've been at the World Juniors, and then you come back to play in Rochester. It's like everything is rush. Was it nice for you to have 3 days of just saying, oh, I can chill for a little bit?
Yeah, it was fun. My brother came in the city, so. But then I just did a little bit mistake of our flight, so. Yeah. We should fly to Minnesota to see our buddy Lauko for Christmas. But I booked the flight on 24 February, not
December.
Not December. So.
Oh no.
Yeah, it was great Christmas. We spent the day in Toronto. And
oh, no. Oh, well, I mean, it happens. Yeah. I've done it before, too. So
it happens a lot, actually.
Yeah, Duffer travels a lot, so he'd be the expert.
Oh, my gosh. Well, see, you made the most of it, though. So
12
that's awesome.
And 2. It's close. Like, you know, you put 12, 24, and all of a sudden the one disappeared, and it's 2:24.
Yeah, but the worst thing was that we were driving to Toronto for... I don't know, 2 hours, hour and a half. Then we spent an hour at the airport, and then they told me I...
Oh, booked the wrong.
Yeah.
Oh, well, hopefully you got a refund.
No.
No, they're like, no, you're not getting a refund.
No.
Was it just your flight, or did you book for your buddy, too?
For my brother.
For your brother?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
Wow.
So what did you do in Toronto?
I don't know.
Did you guys come right back?
No, we stayed in Toronto for the day. And, we just went for a nice dinner, but everything was full booked, so it was kind of hard.
Yeah.
So.
Well, life on the road.
That is, a couple of years back, last year, was it last year, Mittelstadt found himself in Columbus waiting for the team after the storm, and he was trying to get back here. And
the game
got canceled, so he was in Columbus by himself right after Christmas. So I'm telling you, like, things like that happen. So it's okay.
All right.
Rookie mistake.
Thank you for stopping by.
Thank you.
Continued success the rest of the year. Good storyteller. That one came out of nowhere. And we'll have more stories this week. Most of them, presumably, pertaining to Rob Ray, because it's his night coming up on Friday. Yes, Nashville is in, but we want you in the building early. Doors are open at 5. Ceremony to induct Razor into the Sabres Hall of Fame begins at 6:05. We have adorned the set with the lovely pin collection that the first 10,000 in attendance will receive. So all signs pointing towards a big night for Razor on Friday.
Yeah, so the pins are awesome. There's the three pins. One is a headset in blue and gold saying Razor in it. Mm-hmm. One is the 32 black Goathead jerseys with Ray. And then just one that to commemorate the Hall of Fame induction with the dates. So those are the three pins. They're fantastic.
Thank you for hand modeling. Well done, as per usual.
Well, our crew on MSG, they've got the pictures,
the
and they're doing a great job. Come
on. You're supposed to play it up as if it was live, Marty.
Well, it is live, but it's life to tape.
Not that portion.
Life
of
to tape.
All right, so you're expecting Lukanen tonight?
Yeah, I was watching Morning Skate today. He was sitting on the bench. Lukanen's a funny cat. He, after the Morning
says
Skate,
a former goaltender.
A former goalie, but it was a funny cat. Mm. A strange cat, I should say. But he likes to, after the Morning Skate, he likes to sit on the bench and just converse with the trainers, talk to the players, hang out there. It's almost like he doesn't want to go to the locker room and get out of his gear yet, but he also doesn't want to continue practice, right? So Reimer was at the far end, the Zamboni end, taking breakaways and shots and whatnot, and Lukanen was just sitting on the bench with Bryson. Actually, Bryson went on the ice again for a couple of other twirls and then came back, and instead of retreating to the locker room, he goes, I'm just going to hang out with Oopie here and just chit-chat. So, that's their routine, right? That's the routine in the morning. So I would expect Lukanen to go and try to get this four-game homestand started the right way. There's only five games between now and the Four Nations face-off. Four of them are at home. So you've got an opportunity here to try to say, hey, let's build on something. You go 5-0, you go 4-1 before the Four Nations face-off. And then after that, you say, okay, what is February, March looking like, and what is the plan for the Sabres?
So Swayman at the other end of Buffalo did not see Swayman the first go-around. Corpusello got the win. When they met in Boston right before Christmas, it was a very low event, low shot game. 19 saves on 20 shots for Corpusello in a 3-1 win. Reimer had 16 saves on 18 shots, so it'll be the first go-around for Lukanen against Swayman this year. You can probably guess that the numbers favor Jeremy. He's 7-0-1 lifetime against Buffalo. Yeah. The Bruins have won six straight in this building.
Yeah, well, if you go back to that game on December 21st, like, James Reimer, I remember getting on the plane after, and he was like both goals he thought should have been maybe waved off. Like, the one was on a breakaway save, and then the puck was underneath his pad, and it got jammed in at the last second. Then Morgan Geeky got the game-winning goal after there was a collision at the top of the crease, but the Boston Bruins player was pushed in by Matthias Samuelsson, so they counted the goal after a challenge by the Buffalo Sabres. It just was one of those situations. Geeky, who had the game-winning goal that day, now is playing top line with Zacha and David Pastrnak, and he's on fire. He had 7 goals on December 21st. He has 15 now. A month later, he's added 8 goals. What does he have? He has
15 on the air.
Yeah, 50. He has 6 goals in his last 7 games. It's been unbelievable. And why? Well, because David Pastrnak is on fire as well. The guy's got 17 points in his last 7 games. Like, it's been like over 2 points a game on average. He's got 6 multi-point game in the last 7. Like, everything he touches is going towards the net, going in. And Geeky is just a passenger on the Pastrnak train right now.
Yeah, it's looking like it should be a career year for Morgan. He had nice numbers last year with Boston. Slow start this year, but really hot now. And when the calendar turned to 2025, not that he wasn't warm already, but Pastrnak is leading the league in goals with 11 in his last 11 games and 22 points in 12 since the calendar turned. So he leads in goals and points across the league. And, you know, well, you can't say single-handedly based on what you just said. I think they've had better-than-expected goaltending from Corpusello this year from a win-loss standpoint. But, Marty, it is, and I know, Buffalo's situation is really tough after dropping 5 of the last 7. The Bruins are not good offensively.
Nope.
They're nowhere near where they were defensively. They have the 31st power play. They have a bad penalty kill at 25th. And they are only +2 at 5-on-5. They have no redeeming team stats yet they are still in the playoff spot.
They're still plus five, like on top of the NHL 500. So they're playing, you know, at a plus five rate right now.
And they've done it almost all year without their arguably their 1-1A defenseman in Lindholm.
Lindholm and McAvoy.
Yeah, but McAvoy's only missed the last six.
Yep.
He's missed the last six. They're 5-1-1 in the last seven. Yeah. So don't ever tell me about injuries. I don't want to hear them. They've been at critical times without top pair. Like Lindholm has missed 34 games this year, and now McAvoy's missed the last six. It hasn't affected them. How are they still the playoff mix?
Right now it's about their system and their team and limited playing low event games. And I was surprised. There's a couple of games of late here where they go down 1-2. I'm thinking this is over. If the Bruins don't take a lead, mm-hmm. they don't come back in games. But they've had that opportunity because Pasternak has now flipped a switch. Like it was a slow start with Pasta at the start of the year. Mm-hmm. He flipped a switch. So now the Boston Bruins have added that a little bit. You talk about Jeremy Swayman. The fact that, I mean, if you look at his numbers, 16-16-4 and an .898 save percentage. So, yeah, it's just very average for a guy that signed that big contract, right? That was holding out and number. His numbers were just terrible in his first 10, 12 games. The fact that he's back up to .898 and even in the win-loss record is an achievement because he was way behind early and he's starting to get himself going the right direction. You're right. This is a team that's minus 20 in goal differential. The only team that's in the playoff spot that's in a minus goal differential situation right now, mm-hmm. they shouldn't be a playoff team. Yeah. But what they've done is they've won tight games.
Right.
And when they lose, well, it doesn't matter if you lose 6-2. As long as you're able to win 2-1.
When you say that, what does that remind you of? Last year's Washington Capitals.
Yes, exactly. So they were minus 31 last year.
12 times the Bruins have lost a game that's been decided by three or more.
Yeah.
I didn't look it up. I would bet that in the last 3 years, we have not seen the Bruins lose 12 games in total over 3 years by three or more. It's just, it was never a thing. And no. Washington lost, I want to say, 24 or 26 times last year by three goals or more.
Yeah.
Twice this year. That's why I'm saying it with confidence that there's no way the Bruins would be on the wrong side of it that many times in previous years. It's been a challenge for them this year, but just like Washington, they punt the bad games out of their system real quick, and they get right back into being able to win narrow games, which is, I have to assume this is what we're shaping up for tonight based on what we saw in the first meeting between these two, and unless, you know.
Scoring first, right? 16-5-3 are the Bruins. Scoring first is pretty important for them. Leading after one, 11-2-2. They're 1-12-2 when trailing after one. Mm-hmm. They've only had one win in 15 games when trailing after one. They're not a team that comes back.
Weren't they trailing against Buffalo?
Was it a goal in the first or a goal in the second? Yeah. Anyway, maybe that's the only one. But I'm just saying, like, they're not a team that comes back. They're not a team that, if you can get on them, get a couple early goals, that usually work. Now, like I said, it's changed a little bit now because Pasternak is hot and that top line with Geeky is working. But Brad Marchand's got one assist in three games. That second line with Poitras mm-hmm. has 0 points in three games. Charlie Cole has one assist in three games. It's not like they're getting depth scoring. It's the top line that's producing.
Yeah. Marchand's numbers are still pretty good, though. 17 goals, 38 points. The Bruins did have the lead early against Buffalo. Charlie Coyle should have remembered that because he always scores.
Yeah, that was on that breakaway, right, where he jammed the leg in. Yeah.
So
he always
all that being said, there is an awful lot to look at tonight in Boston and Buffalo and a ton from around the NHL. So mm-hmm. we're going to do that when we come back. A reminder that it is Rob Ray's big night this Friday, and we can offer up two tickets to the game on Friday, a Rob Ray jersey, plus an autograph poster and pin set. How do you get in on this? You go to sabres.com/Ray to enter. We're back after this on Sabres Live.